Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of us want to make a difference in life? You think back over the years and the things that you have done, whether it be on the job or in the home or even here at the church. And think of the things that you have accomplished in your life. Have you made a difference? Have you made a difference within yourself? Have you made a difference with other people? Has your actions, has your words been actions and words of such that would cause others to be encouraged, to want to live closer to God and closer to the church? Have you been that kind of difference? You know, I guess all of us would safely say, yes, I want to make a difference in life. And we think that in any aspect of life. If we were to leave this world today, what would you be known for? What is it about you that is unique that someone would make reference to it to remember you? What would your friends and your relatives remember about you that would make them think that you have made a difference in life? What would the preacher say as he spoke the final words concerning you and your life? Have you made a difference in life? Sobering words, aren't they? Would it be said of us that we would be known for our ability to make money? Is that the best thing that could be said about us? Would we be remembered for our selfishness or for our selflessness? Would our children talk about the good mother, the good father, the good grandparent? And what about our Christianity? Would we be remembered as for our faithfulness to the kingdom? Or would we be remembered for just coming to church and not really doing anything? You see, as a leader, we're known for our faith, we're known for our vision, and we're known for our spirituality. And every one of us sitting in this room today as Christians, whether we realize it or not, we are leaders. Because it is our lives that affect those that are closest to us. It is our lives that project Christianity to those that are around us. Would we be known for sharing Jesus with other people? Would we be known for brightening up the lives of those that are around us with our Christianity? What could be said of us today? Steve read to us this morning a very familiar passage of Scripture, the story of the Good Samaritan. And you know, when we think about the Good Samaritan, we really very rarely think about him. We really very rarely think about the man that was beaten and left on the side of the road. Who do we think about? We think about the two who did nothing. Three men will always be remembered from this story. And it's not the man who was beaten. It'll be the two that did nothing and the one that did something. These three men will be remembered either because they failed to become instruments of righteousness or because the one succeeded to become an instrument of righteousness. I want to tell you this morning, my friends, that you and your preacher will be remembered for something in this life. Just like these three men are going to be remembered for the one thing that they did or did not do, you and I are going to be remembered for something. We will be remembered for making a difference in the lives of someone. From our families, from our friendship circle, and from the church. The question becomes, are we allowing God to be a part of us making our difference in life? Now, the first thing I want to suggest to you this morning is the fact that we can make a difference in life. You and I sitting here today are capable of making a difference in someone else. Maybe the person sitting next to you. Maybe someone that is not here. Maybe someone you don't even know yet. But we are capable of making a difference in our lives, in the lives of someone else. And we can do it where we are. We can become an instrument of righteousness in God's hand. We can make a difference to those who are in the world right here, right where we sit today. We don't have to have some special training. We don't have to have some special set of circumstances to make a difference in life. We don't have to have some special calling. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be rich. We don't have to be highly educated. We don't have to be exceptionally intelligent to make a difference in the lives of those around us. Regardless of who we are, how old we are, how often we have succeeded or failed in the past, we are capable of making a difference today in the lives of those around us. We have Bible examples of this. Noah, he made a difference where he was. He made a difference by saving himself and his family in the flood. You know, he made a difference in our lives as well, because we would not be here had he not done that. He made a difference, and it was his family that he saved. We sit here today as husbands and wives, mothers, fathers, grandparents. What difference have we made in the lives of our family? Moses made a difference, even though he felt that he was not equipped to do so. But yet God used him to lead Israel out of bondage and led the children of Israel to the promised land. How many souls are we leading to heaven today? How many souls have we led in the past? How many souls will we lead in the future? Do you feel inadequate? But you can make a difference. Daniel made a difference by standing up for what was right in the middle of tremendous odds. Can God count on us to stand up for Him even when the odds look bad? Are we willing to stand up for God and stand up against political correctness in our culture, whether it be in our homes or at school or at the office or even out on the golf course? Will we make a stand for what is right? If we do, then we can make a difference. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Would you say that she has made a difference in the world today? She allowed God to use her to bring in the Son of God to this world, to live and to die and to create what we have in Christianity, the hope of eternal life. Wouldn't you say she's made a difference? What about Barnabas? Barnabas made a difference in the early church. He was God's instrument of encouragement. Have you encouraged anyone today? Are you encouraging anyone by being here? Have you encouraged others to come and to be with you? You see, it is imperative that we become instruments of righteousness, that we allow God to use us for His purpose, for His good, that we can show Christ in the lives of others. Why do we need to become an instrument of righteousness? Well, first of all, because our world depends on it. Our world would never survive if it were not for people who would help each other. Does anyone here know what General Douglas MacArthur's biggest concern was after he won World War II? I don't know if we have any World War II buffs in here or not. I studied the World War II a lot when I was in high school and college. I was fascinated with the era. But did you know General MacArthur had one great concern after he had pretty much completed winning the war? Do you know what that was? To rebuild the Japanese nation. That was his number one concern. You see, we had utterly destroyed the Japanese. They did not have the ability to survive alone. You see, Japan does not have natural resources. Everything has to be brought into them other than rice. That's all they have. Germany and Italy, which were also destroyed, they had these natural resources that allowed them to rebuild themselves. Japan couldn't do it. So Douglas MacArthur went in with machinery and goods and literally rebuilt the economy and the social status of Japan. And that's why Japan is so Americanized today. You see, God made us for relationships. He made us to be dependent upon each other. And we need each other. He has put within us to help carry each other's burdens and to make them light. Even when we fuss and when we fight with each other, we still need each other. Now think about this. Where would this world be without good Samaritans, like the one we read of in Luke 10, or even like General MacArthur? What would happen to the robbed and the beaten and the half-dead of our world had it not been for those who would come along and stop what they are doing in life and help, while the people would disintegrate into chaos, not being able to care for themselves? And here it is, you and I. You and I sitting here today would not be where we are had it not been for someone helping us along the way. You know, you have people who say, well, I'm a self-made man. I did everything by myself. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. There is no one here who has not valued from the help of the aid of someone else, somewhere, somehow, in this life. We need difference makers in the world because the world depends on it. We need difference makers in the world because there are rewards from being a helper, an instrument of righteousness. You know, Jesus never told his audience how the Good Samaritan felt when he left the beaten man at the inn. But I would like to think that he felt pretty good. Because you see, he would have done something to help another human being. Doesn't it make you feel good when you do something to help someone? Don't you feel just as good as they do? Don't you feel good when they come up to you and give you the big bear hug and say, thank you for helping me, for doing this for me? Don't you get just as much out of it? You should. You see, we're blessed in doing good. Scripture tells us that we are His workmanship. We are His instruments. We are created to do good works. And there are rewards from doing good works. Jesus said, blessed are they, or that word translates happy, are they who show mercy. Those who help, those who aid, those who lend a hand. And the Father will reward those who give to the needy. Jesus said, not a cup, not a single cup of cold water will go unrewarded. No wonder Scripture tells us that it is far more blessed to give than it is to receive. We should make a difference in the world because God expects us to do it. If that was the only reason I mentioned today, that would be the only one I would need to mention today. It's because what is our plight in life? To do the will of God. And God expects this of us. Romans 6 verse 13, Paul says that we are to yield ourselves unto God as His instrument of righteousness. We are to be that living sacrifice to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. In the sheep and goat judgment scene in Matthew 25, Jesus tells us that our judgment will partially depend upon how we dealt with those who are in need. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you visited me and in need, and I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. How you deal with your fellow man. Some of the last words that Jesus spoke when He was on this earth was a commandment for us to make a difference in life. Go make disciples of all nations, He said. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Go out into this world and make a difference. Be an instrument of righteousness. Spread to the world this word of joy, this gospel of Christ that you have. Get ourselves into the homes, into the neighborhoods, into the workplace. And even to the places of pleasure. Wherever people are, go. Make a difference. Well, let's ask this question. What kind of person does God look for to be His instrument? Well, I want to tell you that He uses just plain old everyday ordinary people. Just like you and me. People who have feelings. People who have inhibitions. People who have problems. I guess we've all gone through that, haven't we? Yeah. People who were not well known. People who were not all that talented. People who felt unqualified to do God's work. We have Bible examples of this. These are the kind of people that God used. Moses, for example, he said, who, me? Not me. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I can't convey to Pharaoh the things that you want me to convey to him. What would I say to him? Who would I say that sent me? I'm not equipped to do this. And on and on. And finally, God just got irritated with Moses and said, look, you do it. Send Aaron. He'll talk for you. And you know the funny thing is, when they got over there, Aaron couldn't get a word in sideways because Moses wouldn't hush. Paul said, I'm not an eloquent speaker. Paul felt ill-equipped. He said, I'm resolved to know nothing about except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear. I came to you with much trembling, not with words of persuasive words of wisdom from men. He came scared and anxious. But God used him to make a difference in the lives of other people. David. David's mentioned probably more than any other person in the Bible except for Christ. Yet David started out so unqualified that his daddy forgot to mention him to Samuel about finding a king. Rahab, a prostitute. She made a huge difference in the children of Israel through her actions. You see, God doesn't always use the wise, the influential, the ambitious, those who are of noble birth. Do we have any noble birth people in here? He's even used people who got off to the wrong start. Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Instead, Jonah runs in the opposite direction toward Tarshish and winds up in the belly of a fish. But God gave him another chance. And he went to Nineveh. You know, that's the one thing we remember about Jonah. Jonah disobeyed and got swallowed by a whale. We don't remember the part that he had to be a magnificent speaker. I mean, look what he did. He goes into a major city and converts an entire city to God. We don't think about that when we think about Jonah, do we? We think about him running and getting swallowed by a fish. But God used him. And boy, did he make a difference. Think about David. David had fought great battles for God. David righted wrong, stood firm in the faith. But then on one occasion, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And in an attempt to hide it, he committed murder. He broke 4 of the 10 commandments just like that. But yet God gave him another chance. And he became a big difference maker in the lives of so many people. You know, we may have disqualified ourselves from being a difference maker because of our ugly sins. It doesn't get any uglier than David, folks. But God is a God of second chance. He loves us, He forgives us, and He can still use us. And then finally, as an instrument of righteousness, we are difference makers that never give up. I wonder if we were honest this morning, would we have to admit that we have given up in the past on God? I wonder if we're honest enough to admit that we've said, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I'm going to turn and walk away. We must never forget the promise of Jesus. And if we don't forget the promise of Jesus, then we won't quit. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now, he didn't reverse that and says, I'm going to give you a crown of life, so maybe you ought to be faithful unto death. He didn't say it that way, did he? He said, you be faithful. You show me your faith. You show me your love. You show me your dedication. You show me the fact that you're willing to make a difference. And you do it. Then I will take care of eternal life. God does not judge us on our past successes or our past mistakes. But He judges us on what we are doing now. Because you see, the past is gone. Those of us who are sitting here this morning, when we stand before God as Christians, God's not even going to look at what we've done before we became a Christian. It's all past. He wants to know what you're doing now. He wants to know how you are making a difference in the lives of other people as children of God. Paul said, I forget the past, and I press on. I'm going toward that mark, toward that goal of eternal life. And it's mine when I make a difference. This morning, my friends, I want to tell you that Jesus can make a difference in your life. This morning, if you're not a Christian, He can forgive your sins. He can save your soul. He can make you a child of God by faith, by repentance, by confession, by New Testament baptism. You can walk out of here today redeemed, a child of God, and you can step outside of these doors ready to make a difference in your life and make a difference in the lives of so many people you come in contact with. And as a child of God, my friends, He can make our lives meaningful. He can make our lives blessed. He can make our lives fulfilled. And He can make our lives happy. Perhaps we need the prayers of the church to help us be better instruments of righteousness. This morning, if that is your case, or if you need to respond to become a Christian, we beseech you, we beg, we plead, become an instrument of righteousness for the kingdom of God. If you need to respond, please do so now while we stand and sing.